So welcome again to the next episode of the G&T Cast. Cheers, Terry.
Cheers, buddy.
So I think we've got an interesting question for this one.
It really is an interesting question.
It cropped up in a brainstorm, and as often these things do, you know, it's sort of like, oh, okay, that's interesting. Mm. So I'll let you intro it for the viewers, and then we'll talk about what that really means.
Oh, thanks for that. Firstly, it's great. It's great. This is.
It is.
What is better than this? Okay. So a number of years ago, when I was running a business, I was trying to understand marketing and everything, and I came across Google, what was called pay-per-click. And I remember listening to a really great friend of mine called David Brown from the Scottish Shuttle Company in Dundee in Scotland. You know David,
lovely
also
guy.
Lovely
yeah,
guy. And a lovely family. Great family, yeah.
Hi, Judith, if
you watch. Yeah, if you watch. And David and everybody. And he often talked about what people do is they spend money on Google, but they don't really know what they're doing. So Google charge what's called a stupidity tax, and that's what
David's coined
it. The way David coined it, and I thought, actually, that's right, because people are delving into something that they really don't understand, or they have very little understanding about it, and Google just charges them money. So if I just go back to 2008 in my own life, I had a consultant started my Google Ads campaigns, and this is a great example of the Google stupidity tax that I had, and I paid him a monthly fee and a setup fee, and it was really working for me. I was getting loads of leads in and making quite a bit of money in the fire industry, and then once I began to understand it, this was 3 years later. We used to get phone calls, by the way. In my business, saying, "Yeah, is that South Yorkshire Fire Brigade, or is it this?" And every member of my staff had a list, and they would say, "No, you need to ring this." And what I learned, I think probably about 2011, something like that, was there was something in Google called negative keywords, and I've never heard of them before. And so every time somebody put into my account, like a fire or fire training and stuff like that. My website came up and people used to ring. And the best example I've ever heard is if you're looking to buy a McDonald's franchise, you put McDonald's and franchise, and then all the other franchises come up. And so they're negative keywords. So you take Subway and KFC and all that out of that. So you're just paying for that.
It's a filter.
When I looked into this, my Google stupidity tax for having somebody, and I spoke to the consultant, I said, I've just been through my account. There's no negative keywords in there. And I'm just wondering why you haven't done that as my consultant, as my paid professional. And he was like,
tumbleweed.
Yeah, that was it. It was like, well, we didn't talk it in the early days, Terry. He said, so I didn't put it in. So I did a calculation. My personal Google stupidity tax was 50,000 quid.
Ouch.
50,000 quid. So I'd spent £190,000 on Google pay-per-click, and 50,000 of it was for people to ring every day for my staff, my time. That's just on Google, by the way, not my staff's time. No, it's for this. You need to ring this number. They all had lists because we kept getting calls all the time.
That's a nice holiday in the Seychelles.
It is. So what I want to introduce now.
Just to give it a frame.
Yeah, what I want to introduce now is the business buyer's stupidity tax. So along the same lines, really, from my point of view, not having an expert like you at my side. So you go off and you do maybe an online program or you do something out there and you don't have an expert at your side.
The other adage, I suppose, is you don't know what you don't know.
That's really good.
And we often step into things with the best of intentions. And a lot of people are pretty bright and pick stuff up quickly. But even so, without the right kind of guidance.
Yeah, totally.
You can watch a video on YouTube about how to read a map, but there's nothing compares to walking up a mountain, in the wind and rain with a map and a compass and going, what did they say on YouTube? How do I do this? And that hitting the ground running and actually experiencing is a whole different ball game very often.
Yeah. And so what are the pitfalls? What are the things that if people go out there and they, for me, I, I always remember on our first deal that we did, sitting in a room in London with funders, thinking, "What is Guy on about?"
So I think of some specific examples. Yeah. So in all the documentation that we share, the template documentation that we share with our members, all of that is built up over quite a considerable amount of time. And each time we've tweaked it and changed it, it's built based on experience. It's built on things that have happened, for good or for bad. More often than not, mm-hmm. it's things that have gone wrong. So let me give you an example of that. I did a deal where I was 3 days away for completion. We'd spent quite some months building the deal up. It was fully funded. It was structured. It was complicated because there were a lot of shareholders for historic reasons. But we had a situation where, quite rightly, all the shareholders had gathered together. It was kind of close to completion. Everyone was slapping each other on the back, looking forward to getting the payment. But the lawyer representing the vendor had, at the time, a very healthy retainer fee for, you know, legal advice, HR, stuff like that. Sort of quite generic, really. And it was quite a lot of money that they got paid. There was something like 20 grand a year, you know, and this was a small regional business, relatively speaking. So I would never have spent that kind of money with a law firm. So they kind of embedded themselves in the firm. And what emerged was, the day after the meeting, I got a phone call that said the deal's off. So I'm shocked and surprised, like, well, why? You know, what's the problem? Mm. And this lawyer had addressed the meeting. And quite rightly, one of the shareholders has said, and the security for the deferred part of the deal, because mm-hmm. you pay a certain amount on completion, the rest deferred over a given period of time, what's the security? Now, bearing in mind that we had provided security, a share mm-hmm. charge and various other components, so it was pretty safe and secure.
Based around a win-win deal, of course,
totally.
Not a win-lose.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. All of which was negotiated. So the directors acting for the company were happy.
Yeah.
But this lawyer stood up and said, "Oh no, you'll never see the deferred payment." And of course, there was uproar.
What do you mean? Yeah, you can imagine it.
And quite rightly so. If I'd been the shareholder, I would have said that as well. And what she very deliberately did was disrupt the sale, because she could see that when we came in, her 20 grand a month would disappear. Now, you can call that what you want, enlightened self-interest or blatant lying. You know, there's a spectrum. But nonetheless, what the effect was, the deal fell over and it cost us a lot of money, a five-figure sum in fees that we had to pay out, and we had no recourse.
And all that, and that's not even mentioning all the time it took to structure that deal, the meetings, all that sort of stuff.
If I costed that in as well, it would be a six-figure sum. Yeah. So I learned from that we have a cost indemnity built into our legal documentation prior to contract. That means that if a vendor changes their mind, then they've got to pay our costs. And that's quite a powerful tool, because it's both a litmus test. How serious are they? How committed are they to the deal? But also, crucially, it protects you. So if something happens unforeseen, then you're going to get your cash back. Now, for me, it's never happened since, because I'm very good at, I say very good at, I mean, I'm comfortable.
No, it's fair. You are very good.
I'm comfortable with discussing that with a vendor in the early stages and making clear our expectations. But I'm used to doing it. I've done plenty of it, so it's easier for me. For a first timer, though, that's one of the protection mechanisms that wouldn't necessarily mean much when you just see it in a piece of paper, in a clause. But it's the impact that's important. And for example, one of our members fell foul of this. On the day of completion, the vendors had gone to the office to sign the documentation, and their lawyer said, "I'm not really sure you should do this." Why? I'm convinced because he thought, there's a risk of me getting sued if it goes wrong. I'll just persuade my client not to do it. Not thinking about the consequences for the vendor. Mm. The consequences for the vendor was that our member ended up recovering a six-figure sum just for the fees that he paid out.
Yeah.
And it was enforced.
Yeah.
And we got the money back. Now, actually, I think that's terrible, because the vendors ended up paying out six figures to our member. It's not really income. He'd far rather have bought the company in the first place and completed the deal.
Yeah.
And I hope that vendor has sued the ass off their lawyer, who gave them diabolically bad advice. Yeah. But it's a live example of what happens. Mm-hmm. So that's an example of where, if you didn't know all of that and you didn't have the protection from the templates and the materials that we give you in the club, you could suffer a six-figure stupidity tax very, very easily, as an example.
For me... You know, I don't like it when I see that, because there's also the vendor hasn't sold the business.
No.
And they haven't gone off.
It's a lose-lose.
And they that's exactly what it is. And they haven't gone off and done what exactly they had planned while they built the business as well.
No, it's a lose-lose all round. It's not a happy outcome. My point is, we protected our member and he's got his money back.
Yeah.
But he'd far rather have bought the company, and for the vendor, it would have been better that they sold. And but it happens.
For our members as well, I think this is hugely important. For our members as well, I say this, and if you've watched all the videos that we've done, all the G&T show thus far, you know the kind of respect I have for this guy, because he gives so much time and effort to our members. And I think that, you know, it's like going reading a book, or I can go buy a business, and then going and doing it. You're going to find so many pitfalls and I tell you what we'll do. We'll just have you talk through why it is you spend so much time helping the members, because... we'll put you on the spot. Yeah, we'll put you on the spot. Why is it important?
There's a button somewhere that if you press it, I have to help. It's like an auto response. So.
Do you think it comes from your military background a bit?
I think it's a combination of things, Terry, to be honest. Yeah. I think it's partly because I've been through the mill in my entrepreneurial lifetime.
Yeah, and if you got Guy's book, by the way, you'll read his story in it. Mm. And if you haven't, go to the website and download it. It's business magic.
Yeah. You know, I've made, well, you would call it feedback. I've made a lot of mistakes.
Learnings,
whatever you want to call
them. He's had plenty of learnings, as I have also.
I usually start with the letter F. I'll let you fill in the dots. But I'd rather share that, all those mistakes. I'd rather share the things that have gone wrong, as we do with our members, because I'd rather guide people away from something that I know could end up being a painful outcome, as opposed to, it'll be fine.
Yeah.
It's not in me to see people suffer.
Yeah.
You know, having been through it, experienced some really, really tough times, it's just not in me to kind of sit on the sidelines almost and think, they'll figure it out. Mm-hmm. That's just not the way I'm built. And perhaps it is from, you know, background in the military. You know, the army is a fantastic organisation with 36 years service and still going. And I've had the most amazing relationships over that time with people who become your brothers and sisters. And you don't leave anyone on the battlefield. It's as simple as that. You have to look out for your colleagues. And the way that we approach our members and our clients is exactly the same. And it's not just about the deal, it's about the holistic picture. You know, if someone's got a problem in relation to business, it could even be to some extent personal, but predominantly, you know, business issues. It's not just about buying companies. It's if someone, you know, we helped one of our members fix an HMRC issue because we could, because I've got that experience, because I've got that t-shirt, I've been there, if I don't know, I've got an expert who does. You know, we can pick up the phone to a whole range of top quality experts who know the answer to those kind of problems. Yeah. And we're not in it just to kind of go, here's a fee, thanks very much, see you at the next meeting. Yeah, that's just not the way we work.
Yeah, also, you know, we don't have some slick marketing campaign with kind of nothing behind it. That's what I love about what you do. And, well, what we do is in the club, but specifically, like, I'll give you a great example of this. So this morning, we're sat in this room getting ready to film. And then myself and everybody else, and Johnny, who's amazing working with us, we're all sat there listening to Guy helping and coaching one of our members. So I'm like, but that's just the guy. That's just the guy.
Yeah, you know, he'd sent me emails between him, correspondence with a buyer. They got heads of turn signed.
Yeah.
And then it's starting to fall off the rails because the vendor's realised his business is a bit shit. And he's desperately trying to bail out of the deal, but blaming our member, and I'm just there to provide advice and guidance on what to do next. What's the most effective tactic, either to complete the deal or pull away or whatever it might be. And, you know, that's been a mixture of text messages, emails, telephone conference. You know, there's no charge for that. That's just what we do. So,
you know, so finishing up on it, really, if I was going to do Google paid advertising again, I'd be ringing you, David Brown, because I don't want to pay that stupidity tax again. And if you guys are interested in, you know, just picking Guy's brain, then come along. That's a no-brainer for you. Come along to one of our discovery days that are coming. And and judge the man for yourself and his values and his morals and how authentic he is.
Yeah, I'd love to see, and if you got, even if you're in the early stages of buying companies,
yeah,
and maybe thinking,
or maybe just thinking about it.
Yeah, I was thinking about it, but I'm also thinking about people who maybe thought, you know, I'll have a crack at this. I mean, I love the fact that one guy came to one of our workshops, I think last year, and paid 97 quid and bought a business off the back of it.
Yeah.
That's the level of detail that we provide.
Yeah.
It's not a kind of flimsy.
And you know, when people buy multi-million pound businesses, you were smiling as much when the guy came and onto the workshop and went away. And
that's it. It's a transformation.
Yeah.
I love it. So,
yeah.
You know, please do, you know, interact with us and
and
we'll help. And if you happen to be in the stages perhaps already of going down the road of a deal and you're thinking, well, I'm not quite sure what to do next, it could be a funding issue, it could be a strategy, it could be legal, whatever it might be, then just give us a bell. If you're thinking, I'm not sure, please don't pay a stupidity tax, please get in touch and we'll help you.
Anyone?
And on that note
cheers
till the next time.